So today we're going to be looking from a wonderful passage that talks about this open passage, this open door that God is giving to each and every person. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, the first five verses. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. This is one of the great open invitations of Scripture. It is an open invitation to come to a feast beyond all that you can imagine. It's an open invitation to come and experience what God has for each one of us. And the great thing about it is it's an open invitation to come without money to a great banquet which God supplies. No need for money. It maybe causes you to be puzzled and to think. Because it puzzles me as I begin to read this scripture. Because it says in this scripture, it says, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why has it even got the word buy in there twice? Because it's free. It's open. We're allowed to come to God. God is supplying this great and wonderful banquet. And I can't imagine everything that's going to be at this banquet table. Can you? Gosh, it's going to be an incredible banquet table. For me, I know one thing that better be on the banquet table. Anybody got any guesses? Pork barbecue. For those of you that don't know me, I'm allergic to pork. Haven't always been allergic to pork. So I know how good it tastes. There's a lot of things that I hope to find on that banquet table. I mean, there really, really is. My grandma can make dressing like nobody else. And I have tried for years to duplicate her recipe every Thanksgiving when I cook Thanksgiving supper. I'm getting closer and closer, but I'm still not there yet. And I still haven't tried to make the oyster dressing that she always made. What a wonderful treat that always was every year. You know, so when I get there, I'm looking for this incredible banquet. But here's what I want you to think about, because too many of us think about that's going to happen someday. That's going to be a powerful banquet. That's going to be a powerful thing someday. That's going to be an exciting thing today. You see, we push that banquet way off into the future, don't we? That God is going to prepare this incredible banquet for us, and we're allowed to come to this banquet. We don't need to have any money, and we can come and eat all we want, and we can come and experience the fellowship with all of the people. You know what? That banquet's already going on. And many Christians are missing out on it. And many other people have no idea and no concept that that banquet's already happening. You see, eternal life starts when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, not when we die and go to heaven. The treasures of heaven start now. The banquet starts now, and we can eat from that banquet each and every day. There's no reason to push it off to the future. It's a powerful banquet that can happen now. And God is giving that invitation out to people to say there is an open invitation. Come, you don't need money. And the sad thing is that instead, many are making great efforts to labor in enormous ways to get what they think they need. We have many people in our world that are doing many things at great efforts. They are doing enormous things to get what they think they need. I know some people that are working 2 and 3 jobs. Not because they need to, but because they want bigger and better things. Because they're convinced that the bigger and better things are going to supply them with a great banquet. What does God say? God says, come without money. Come, buy and eat the very best. But yet we got people in our society that are going out and they are trying to do it their own way, the way that they feel most comfortable with, and they're bypassing the banquet table. And even some Christians are doing that. They're bypassing the banquet table. They're not even seeing it. Because they're saying that banquet is for some other day way down the road. It'll be there later. I don't need to know it now. Go now? That's what happens when you live at the beach, by the way. When you live at the beach, you don't need to go today. Because it'll be there tomorrow. And it's there the day after. Now, you don't trust me with that? The mountains are right here. When was the last time you went hiking? When was the last time I went hiking? I thought about it yesterday, but I sat down and that feeling went away. I was so gracious. Folks, the banquet's already there. And so many people are designing their own ways to get a banquet the way they want it. So many people are designing their own things, doing enormous and powerful things to say, I'm going to get my banquet. Whether it's a second or third vacation home. Yes, I do know some people that do that. Whether it's a bigger boat. By the way, you know what a boat is, don't you? Some of you know what a boat is. It's a hole in the water to pour money into. That's all a boat is. And you see, we've got lots of people in our society doing that. They're trying to find greater and bigger ways to accomplish and be part of that banquet, but God has already supplied it. It's already there. And they're bypassing it. You see, these laborers do not end up satisfying the needs. Yet people continue. The laborers do not end up satisfying the needs. St. Augustine said something that I try to keep in mind all the time. St. Augustine, a great Christian of the 300s, 400s. Don't hold me within 1,000 years of that, but it's somewhere there. St. Augustine said that within us, there is a great hole. And that hole can only be filled by God. And God has created us that way. That hole can only be filled by God. And yet we try to find many other ways to fill that hole. It'll never happen. You see, God has given us the invitation to the banquet. And people learn that all these other ways never satisfy. And yet, what do? They get another job to get more money to try to fill the hole. They continue doing what they're doing to try to fill the hole. And the hole is only filled by the banquet that God has for us. It's not filled any other way. And God says, you don't need to pay for it. You don't need to pay for it. Come and eat. Gosh, wouldn't that be great at a seafood restaurant? Come and eat. You don't need to pay for it. No money's needed. Eat as many shrimp as you want. They'd go out of business with me. That's what God's trying to tell us. Instead of all the effort that we keep pouring into things, God says it's right there in front of you already. There's a key thing in this passage that really helps me to understand. It says if we would listen, and by the way, that's mentioned 4 times in this passage. If we would listen and eat what God supplies, then an everlasting covenant will be continued with us. If we would listen and eat what God supplies, then an everlasting covenant would continue with us. Listen to this, starting in verse 2. Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. 3 times it uses the word listen, and the other time it says give ear. Or as we know from William Shakespeare, how do they say it in Julius Caesar? Friends, Romans, and countrymen, what? Lend me your ears. Listen to what I'm saying. And God says, if you will but listen to me, just listen. Now, I heard somebody say one time, it wasn't my mama and it wasn't either one of my grandmas, but somebody told me one time, you got 2 ears and 1 mouth. It means you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. And I think when it comes to God, we need to listen. I have so many, especially Christians, tell me, I haven't heard God speak. And yet, all throughout Scripture, God says, listen. Listen. Give me ear. Listen. Jesus says, he who has what? Ears. It's all about listening. It's all about taking the time to actually listen, which means I need to get to a place where I can quiet myself down. That's why I think silence is so important. Silence is so important. Not filling it with music. Not filling it with something in the background so that you don't feel so lonely. Silence. Nothing else. That you might train your ear to listen to what God has to say. Because I am thoroughly convinced that God is speaking to every one of us. Not just select individuals, but every one of us that God is speaking to. This invitation doesn't go out to select individuals, does it? It goes out to everybody. Come, eat, without money. Come, buy whatever you want. Take the best of everything. And yet we run around trying to find the best of everything without ever listening to God and without ever coming to God. It's all about listening and training your ear to listen. I want to admit to you, that's a hard thing. That is a very, very hard thing. Because our society has taught us differently. What department store do you go to and they're probably not playing music in the background? What clothing store do you go and they're not playing some music? Or elevators that you get on and they're not playing music? You know they do exist, but you don't recognize it because you're so used to hearing it. You're so used to hearing some of that background noise. I've talked to people that say, well, I just leave my TV on all day. I don't watch it, but I got to have it on. Something making noise. What are you trying to drown out? Are you trying to drown out God talking to you? Because it's there. I still remember the first time I sat in one of Glenn Henson's classes. The first class I had with Professor Henson. He made us sit for 15 minutes doing nothing. And he specifically said that. I want you to do nothing. No homework. No schoolwork. No church work. No homework. No, just sit. And he made us do it for 15 minutes. And you know what? He sat down. And I know some of you can't see over there, but he sat down and bowed his head. He never looked at his watch. And in 15 minutes, he got up and started lecturing. He said, I just want you to sit there and let God love you. Don't do anything else. It's as though I heard Henry Blackaby say one time. You know the great saying, don't just stand there, do something? Maybe some of you use that saying. Henry Blackaby said that the saying should be this, and he says he thinks sometimes God actually says this. Don't do anything, just stand there and let me love you. And you know, I think God does say that sometimes. Just stand there and let me love you. Got a little kid there in the back that's being held and comforted, and it's not so easy to do when the kid's squirming, is it? You see, God just wants to love on you. And God wants to bring you the best. I told you it was very, very hard for me the first time Glenn Henson made us take 15 minutes, and he did that every class period. 5 days a week, 3 weeks in a row. And then he gave us a wonderful choice at the end of class. He had given us 5 books to read, this much copied material to read in 3 weeks. And he wanted us to journal our thoughts about everything that we read. I'm glad there was only one class going on at the time, but I didn't finish it. I still have 2 of those books on my shelf that I've never read out of the 5 that he assigned to us. He said, I give you a choice. By the way, the class was prayer and Christian history. So we studied everything there was about prayer for 3 weeks and everybody's writings about it. He said, I give you a choice. You can take a final exam, or you can go with me to a retreat center for 42 hours and do nothing. Which choice are you going to make? Boy, that was not a hard choice to make. An exam on 5 books and this much material and everything he had lectured on in 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 3 weeks in a row. Or you could go to a retreat center with him and for 42 hours do nothing. Boy, that was a real hard choice to make for a final exam. And you know what he taught us? How valuable it was to sit and just listen to God. not talk to God about things, not offer up prayers. Just come to the incredible banquet that God has for all of us and just eat. Folks, do you start your day eating at the banquet? You see, when we live this covenant, peoples we don't know will come running to us. That's what it says in this passage. Peoples and nations that we don't know, when we live this way, will come running to us, desiring to have the same banquet we have. Show me where that food is you just got. I mean, come on, you go to a carnival and you see somebody walking around with something you really... Don't you ask them where you get that? Or are you bashful and try to hunt and search out yourself? You know, you waste a lot of time doing that. If I just ask the person who has it, where did you get that funnel cake? Right? Where did you get that deep fried Twinkie? Where did you get that deep fried stick of butter? Believe it or not, those are things at county fairs now, okay? I don't know why there's things like that. But if you just ask. And it says if we live that way so that we're eating at the banquet, people are going to come and ask us, where do you get that food? Where'd you find that? So I'm going to leave you with this question. What is your main sustenance? Is it your labors or God's supply? I surely hope you start your day with God's supply at a great banquet. At this stage in my life, I can't even consider about going into the day without eating from the banquet first thing in the morning. That doesn't mean I'm a morning person, by the way. It just means I eat at the banquet in the morning because I want a banquet that's going to last me all day. So is it your labors or is it God's supply? Let's pray. Lord, we truly do come to you, recognizing that you have set a table before us like no one ever has. And that table's not far off in the future somewhere. That table's right present in front of us every day when we get up. And yet, Lord, sometimes we'll walk right past that banquet table. And with our labors, we'll go and scrounge. And we'll try to find the best that we can to eat. Wake us up. Alert us. Give us eyes that see and ears that hear, that we might come to the great banquet table. The table that you have placed in front of us, the table that is loaded with all good things to eat, with no calories. Things that will supply our every need. Things that will bring us joy. Things that will bring us excitement. Things that will make other people hungry when they see how we live off your banquet table. So Lord, help us to come and eat from your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.